You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NBA has released their marquee game schedule. Frank Mason III is being sued by Lil Wayne. And the G-Man, Gary Gerald, legendary radio voice of the Sacramento Kings, joins us for an exclusive interview. All that and more on the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Welcome back to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I have the privilege of being your host from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of your Sacramento Kings. I work there as a show host and multimedia journalist. You should know KHDK because that is the flagship station, like I mentioned, which means every single Sacramento Kings game is broadcast on our airwaves here in Sacramento. And why is that important? Well, one, if you're listening, you want to follow the game and you're in your car, that's the best way to do it. And number two, the G-Man, Gary Gerald, you'll hear his voice on almost a nightly basis calling Kings games. He's been doing it for so long, feels like forever since I was a kid. I grew up listening to the G-Man, so I'm very excited to have him here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll be playing that for you here in a couple minutes. He had a lot of great things to say about this offseason, about Dave Yeager, his coaching style, and the Kings playing a fast-paced offense. Went into detail about his thoughts on Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles and their performance in the California Classic and Summer League. Also talks a little bit about Vlade not choosing Luka Doncic and why he thinks that is the case. There's so much great stuff from the massive basketball brain of Gary Gerald, and that's coming for you in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to get to this marquee schedule that the NBA announced. And one thing you'll notice, they released it earlier today. The Sacramento Kings are not anywhere on it. Yes, so what that means is the Kings do not have a nationally televised game in the opening week of the 2018-2019 season, on Christmas Day, which is no surprise, and on Martin Luther King Day. But running through some of these matchups, opening night of the NBA will be the Philadelphia 76ers against the Boston Celtics in Boston. That's Tuesday, October 16th is officially opening night. And the second game is the Oklahoma City Thunder in Golden State in Oracle Arena to take on the Warriors. And then on Wednesday, October 17th, you have the Pelicans at the Rockets and Mavericks at the Suns. So Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton will go to battle on day two of the NBA. That's a nationally televised game on ESPN. On Thursday, the 18th, you have the Bulls at the 76ers, and you have the Los Angeles Lakers. The LeBron era of the Los Angeles Lakers begins against the Portland Trail Blazers in Portland. And then on Friday, October 19th, you have the Celtics and the Raptors, Golden State Warriors and the Utah Jazz. And then two games on Saturday the 20th, Toronto Raptors and Washington Wizards, Houston Rockets and Los Angeles Lakers. And the Rockets play again on national TV the following day, Sunday the 21st. The Rockets at the Clippers. Now, that doesn't mean the Kings aren't playing during that stretch. That just means they're not playing any nationally televised games. We'll have to wait a little bit longer to find out the Kings and everybody else's opening week schedule. I'm really excited about these Christmas Day matchups, so I want to run these by you really quick. The Milwaukee Bucks at the New York Knicks, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Houston Rockets, the Philadelphia 76ers at the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Lakers at the Golden State Warriors, and the Portland Trail Blazers at the Utah Jazz. All five of those games I think are going to be incredibly entertaining. I love the first one. I love the Bucks in New York taking on the Knicks. Of course, it's New York. It's Madison Square Garden, so they're going to get that Christmas Day nod and that Christmas Day vibe. Assuming the New York Knicks are healthy and the Milwaukee Bucks are healthy, I think that could be an incredible game. Thunder Rockets, self-explanatory. Melo taking on his former team in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And of course, you have the James Harden, Russell Westbrook battle. Sixers Celtics, same as opening night. Lakers Warriors. So you have LeBron once again going to battle against the NBA champions, and then Portland Trail Blazers, Utah Jazz, another great matchup there. Finally, three games on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is January 21st, 2019. You have the Pelicans at the Grizzlies, Rockets at the 76ers, and Golden State Warriors in LA to take on the Lakers. So those were the games that were released today. The official NBA schedule is sure to come in the next couple of days. And when it does, I promise you we'll dedicate an entire episode to when that Kings schedule drops. So don't you worry about that. I also wanted to get to really quick before we get to this Gary Gerald interview, run through some of these rule changes to the NCAA that they released. And there's been some interesting feedback on both sides, positive and negative, to all of these. But the major changes were that NCAA basketball is now allowing elite high school and college prospects to be represented by an agent. And the big rule that I really, really like, the NCAA will now permit players to return to school if they are unselected in the NBA draft. So what that means is, in the past, if I declared for the draft, if I thought maybe I was a late second round pick and I wanted to go for it and I was tired of school, I didn't want to go back to school, so I'm going to declare for the NBA draft and I'm a freshman, I don't get drafted, suddenly my eligibility to return to school is done. It's gone. Because I declared, I basically forfeited the ability to play my sophomore season and beyond at whichever school I was going to. That is no longer the case. I love that rule. It's pro-student. And most of these rules that they came out, actually, I would go as far as to say all of these rules are pro-student. I'm not sure how I feel about allowing elite high school and college prospects to be represented by an agent. It's good for the kids because these agents are going to be able to get them money and get them support and get them in the limelight and help them out in their journey, which I think is a great thing. But agent involvement has been increasing rapidly in the NBA, so much so that you now see agents getting in the way, blocking moves and for the sake of their client. Yes, they work for their client, so ultimately it's the player that is the one making the decisions. But sometimes you'll see agents get involved in the NBA a little more than I would like. That's just my feeling, but certainly not enough to poo-poo this rule. Another thing, Sam Vecenie tweeted this out, and I loved it. I love this rule in general that they added. He said, another really, really good change is that, quote, Division I schools will be required to pay for tuition fees and books for men's and women's basketball players who left school and returned later to the same school to earn their degree, a.k.a. if I was a freshman, I'm a top 10 talent. I get drafted by the Sacramento Kings. I play a 10-year career and my career ends and I want to go back to school. Or even while my career is still going, I want to go back to school to get my degree, my books and everything at that same school. If I went back to, say, the University of Kentucky, all of my books at the University of Kentucky would be paid for, a.k.a. they're making it easier and more inviting for players to return to school and finish their education, which is extremely important for their post-NBA career. Because you got to realize these guys only play until, like, they're around, I mean, it's an anomaly that Vince Carter is 42 years old and still playing. Most players play till about their mid-30s and are done. And they still have almost three quarters of their life left to live. Depending upon the amount of money they made and how much they are spending it and how smart they're using it and saving it, they might be able to retire early and live a luxurious life for the final 70 years. But most of them have to work or go into entrepreneurship, and they have opportunities. But this is another great one for them to go back and to finish their education, and I absolutely love that. One thing that was interesting is, I'm not sure if you saw this, if you go on Twitter and follow De'Aaron Fox, you ought to, at Swipa the Fox, S-W-I-P-A, and then the Fox. He tweeted this out, which I think is not surprising, let's put it this way, but De'Aaron Fox putting his 2 cents into the whole conversation. He said, congratulations, NCAA, you've gotten worse. At least you finally admitted it's about the money. I think we all knew that, but De'Aaron Fox kind of having a go at the NCAA for finally making rules and encouraging, because the FBI investigation's going on with college basketball right now and the corruption in NCAA men's basketball in particular, now they're coming out trying to be pro player and trying to save face as much as they can while still making money. So De'Aaron Fox weighing in on that. Enough of all of that. Take the break really quick for this quick advertisement. Coming back on the other side of it, my conversation with the G-Man, Gary Gerald. Following that, I'll share briefly this story of Frank Mason and Lil Wayne and why Frank Mason is being sued. That'll be at the very end of the show, but please enjoy this interview that I had with the legendary radio voice of the Sacramento Kings, Gary Gerald. I've had the privilege of speaking with a lot of phenomenal people over the last few years that I've been able to work at KHDK and call Sacramento media my home and my career. One of the guys I was most nervous talking to when I first started in this industry was my guest joining me here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I have been listening to Gary Gerald call Sacramento Kings games since I was a little kid, and being able to meet him and spend time with him, interact with him, and pick his enormous basketball IQ and just spend some time with him. I've learned so much, and I wanted to invite him here on the Locked On Locked On Kings podcast. He's still nervous talking to the guy. Locked On Kings podcast, so that he could share some of that knowledge with you. G-Man, thank you so much for taking the time. Welcome to Locked On Kings. How's your summer been treating you?
My summer, Matt, has been just fine. It's been very relaxing, and it's kind of nice, you know, since I gave up the motorsports a couple of years ago and the crazy demands of a year-round schedule, I'm finding it's nice to be able to kind of pick and choose and do what you want with your time during the summer. And I frankly have been enjoying it.
Well, G, you are the legendary play-by-play voice of the Sacramento Kings for radio, and you have a great seat up at the top of the lower bowl right at center court, so you get to watch this team on a night-in, night-out basis. And I'm going to start with something that I know boils your blood just as much as it boils mine. Tanking conversation, right? We are hearing so much about how much value a win is versus a loss, and the Kings should be losing towards the end of the last season so they'd have better chances at a draft pick. Ultimately, that doesn't matter because the lottery is a lottery for a reason, and the Kings ended up with the number two pick, even though they were slotted at about 7 or 8. First off, what was your reaction hearing that news, and was it a bit of a rubbing salt in the wound to those pro tankers for you?
Well, I'm not a vengeful person at all, but I just that is a hot spot. You know it. You've heard my comments about it in the past, and I don't believe in it. You go in the locker room and you talk to any of these guys who put on the uniform and go out there to play. They don't go out there to lose. They go out there to win, and they work their butts off to do that. And I get very frustrated with it, with people who the mentality is, well, we'd be better off to lose games. Nonsense. You know, I really hope that the league finds a way that they can, you know, really severely crimp the tanking style so that it doesn't become a conversation every year with about 2 months to go in the season. I don't enjoy it at all. And it's a sore spot. I was delighted, obviously, that the Kings ended up getting the number two pick. And so, you know, call it karma, call it whatever. This is a franchise that needs some good luck. It's been a long, long time, as we all know, and it's going to be tough in this Western Conference, Matt. We all know that. But so, it was nice to get a number two pick out of it.
Absolutely. So the Kings were in the situation expecting to be picking around 7 or 8, depending upon how the coin flip went with the Chicago Bulls. There's been some debate on whether or not Marvin Pagley was the right pick or the good pick, maybe a potential reach at number two. But one thing we know for sure, G, is that if the Kings had ended up in the 7th or 8th spot, they probably wouldn't have had a prayer at landing Marvin Bagley. I'm curious about your thoughts on the athletic big man that the Kings ended up taking it to.
Well, I love his versatility. I love his athleticism and the way he can run the floor. And in this, you know, quick to come to a decision society that we live in, man, everything is right now. And sometimes I think hardcore basketball fans, or in any sport, forget that, you know, most of these young people who come into the NBA, very, very rare is the time when a player comes in and has an immediate heavy impact as a rookie. Yes, it does happen from time to time. Do you hope that Marvin Bagley will be one of those? Of course we do. But realistically, it takes 2 or 3 years before you really, you know, get a legitimate feel of what's going on and can make a contribution on a, you know, semi-consistent basis.
Luka Doncic was the guy that a lot of Kings fans wanted, and that fits right into your theory or your statement that it's all about the right now. So many fans believe that Luka, because of his pedigree overseas, is going to be able to come in and now play for the Dallas Mavericks and make an immediate impact. What were your thoughts ultimately on Luka Doncic coming in, and do you understand some Kings fans' grief that the Kings passed on him when he was supposedly a positional need at the 3 spot?
Well, absolutely. I understand, you know, frustration, whatever you want to call it. He was intriguing to me. He appears to have great talent, and I enjoyed watching him on a handful of occasions in international competition. And, you know, being able to, you know, play at a good level and make a legitimate contribution certainly did intrigue me. And I, you know, I was among those who thought, you know, Doncic might be a nice fit for the Sacramento Kings. But I always maintain, Matt, that the general manager, the coaching staff, whether or not anybody, any fans want to actually believe it, they know the game. They know the people. And the odds are they know those people a heck of a lot better than any of us as fans who see highlight reels and one thing or another. And I'm not trying to belittle Kings fans and their passion or anything else. But once in a while, you say, okay, give some credit to the people who make the decisions. You know, a lot of times, some of the factors that go into those decisions relate to knowledge and things that we don't even have a clue as to what's going on. And so, you know, I'm not trying to defend or one thing or another. I just say, okay, the bottom line is the Kings have Marvin Bagley. They don't have Luka Doncic. Live with it. And you hope that it turns out to be a great acquisition. If it doesn't, okay, down the road, what kind of a price do you pay? I don't know. But I guess I get frustrated sometimes with this immediate, you know, knowledge and, you know, the expressions through social media in particular. Everybody has a forum now. Yeah. Everybody has a forum. And boy, you see a lot of vehement denials and protestations and one thing or another. And I don't have an answer to any of that. It's the society, I guess, that we live in. So I know one thing, Luka Doncic will probably be a heck of an NBA ball player. I think Marvin Bagley's got a chance to be a heck of an NBA ball player as well, and I look forward to seeing what he can contribute to the Sacramento Kings.
I love what you said, G, about the trusting the people that are in place that have more and know more than we fans or we in the far backs media, certainly not in the inner works of a front office, will ever know. You've worked with Vlade and have known Vlade for a number of years. You know the reputation that he has overseas and how plugged in he is with European basketball, not just in Spain where Luka played, but really everywhere all over the European scene. So does it simply come down to, look, if Vlade and his staff spent time over there watching him and based off of Vlade's knowledge of European basketball and how deeply ingrained he is, the fact that he passed on Luka, should we put enough faith in that to trust Vlade's decision in ending up with Marvin Bagley?
I don't know if we should, but we don't have a choice. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, it's, you know, the old cliche that we hear all the time. It is what it is. You know, a decision was made, and for whatever reasons it was made, you know, have faith that it was a good decision, and let's see how it plays out. Simple as that.
You got to call games inside the Golden One Center in the middle of, or at the beginning of July, believe it or not. Hard to believe you would ever do that. But the California Classic, and you called three games, G, in front of a sold-out crowd every single night. It was so awesome to see the California Classic, how successful it was. But more importantly, we got to see Marvin Bagley. We got to see Harry Giles play. Can you speak to the major takeaways that you had from those three games in Sacramento, what you liked and what you didn't like, and ultimately the success of the California Classic in general in your eyes?
Well, the California Classic was a home run, I think, any way you look at it. And I really hope that it's, you know, the laying the foundation for more to be seen in the future. It's a great prelude to go into Las Vegas, and it's a great way for Kings fans to get a healthy dose of basketball. I love the fact that more than 50,000 people showed up for 3 days of basketball at Golden One Center, involving the four teams. I love the fact that there were a lot of people who ordinarily may not be able to, you know, have access to the lower bowl because of ticket pricing, that were able to do that during the course of this California Classic. I love the energy that they brought, and it was just, I just thought it was a terrific success. And I certainly hope that it can become, you know, maybe an annual tradition or just, you know, a staple of the summer leading up to Las Vegas. As far as what we saw from Harry Giles and from Marvin Bagley, it was only three games. And in only one of those games did the Kings have the luxury of playing with De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. And Fox, as I remember, in that one first game and the only game that he played, filled the stat sheet. He had all kinds of numbers. And I think that certainly contributed to any success that we saw from Bagley, who went for, I think it was 18 points in that first game, and he blocked some shots, had some rebounds. Didn't have those kind of numbers in the next game against the Golden State Warriors, who were able to throw a couple of legitimate NBA-tested big men against him. That's all part of the learning process. Harry Giles, I thought, was terrific. I enjoyed what I saw from him both in a couple of games in Sacramento, and then I saw them in three games in Las Vegas before I had to come home. And I'm very encouraged. I think Harry, you know, he's not going to be a lifesaver. He's only 20 years old, for crying out loud, but he can do a lot of things really well. and he brings great energy. And I think if he and Bagley get to know each other's game and their teammates in one thing or another, I think they'll be fun to watch. And I want to see the Kings more up-tempo. I want to see Marvin Bagley in the open floor. I want to see his 40-inch vertical. I want to see him above the iron throwing stuff down. I get excited, Matt, thinking about the possibilities there. Mm-hmm. Will there be ups and downs? Will there be inconsistencies? Of course. That's part of the whole process. But as Kings fans, you look at this roster. It's really intriguing. And you say, well, they're so young. Yes, they are. And I was looking at some numbers a bit earlier today, knowing that we were going to talk about some of these things. Two rookies, 5 second-year players, 3 third-year players, 2 fourth-year players in the NBA.
Wow.
That's 12 men on your roster who are basically still kids, so to speak, in the NBA. So it's going to take some time. And I know fans don't want to hear anything. They don't want to hear anything about patience. I'm with you. I want to see the Kings in the playoffs. But realistically, look at the Western Conference. Remember, it took 47 wins to make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And look at how some of these other teams that are in the lottery have improved in the offseason. And you tell me whether or not the Kings are going to have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs this year. I would be stunned if that was the case. I hope I am wrong. I hope I'm stunned. But, Matt, I would be stunned, Matt.
Yeah, and I would be too. I think we all would, which is why we're trying to gauge our expectations, which is an interesting conversation that I've been having with multiple fans and even on Sports Talk Radio with some analysts over the last couple of weeks, is what classifies a successful season for these Kings. Of course, Kings fans would love to see them get back into the playoffs, and if they did that, they'd turn not just all of our heads, but probably everybody's head across the entire planet that pays attention to NBA basketball. But to you, G-Man, what classifies a successful season for this group going into next year? At what would you realistically like to be doing in May and in June of next summer, looking back on the season and saying, you know, that was really good, that was the ideal scenario for me? What would that be?
Well, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I like one of the things that Coach Yeager constantly preaches: try to be better than you were a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was. You want to see improvement. You want to see development of these young players. And to me, it quite simply comes down to the fact, can you consistently be competitive no matter who you're playing? If the Kings can do that, and if they only win 22 games or something, I think that makes it a successful season. And I know that there would be many that would laugh and say, how could a 22-win season be successful? Well, if you're competitive, and I mean legitimately competitive, if you're in games in the fourth quarter against the best teams of the Western or Eastern Conference, for that matter, then I think you're making progress. And that's what I want to see this coming season.
I want to go back to one thing you said about pushing the tempo. I'm right there with you. I think the fact that the Kings were the bottom half of the league last year in pace with their average age was very disappointing to me, something that I'm hoping is corrected almost immediately right out of the gate at the start of next season. It seems like they've added pieces to complement that kind of style. But we've seen, I don't know if stubbornness is the right word, G-Man. I'm a big fan of Dave Yeager as a head coach, but we've seen him lean a lot on veterans in the past with guys like Zach Randolph on the roster, slower, more half-court based on offense. Do you believe Yeager is capable of and will switch his system and mold his system around the perceived strengths of his players, which is in the fast break and playing a fast tempo?
Well, I think so. I mean, I certainly can't speak for him, and I don't know, you know, the inner workings of what he sees when he looks, you know, down the road, not only through this season, but next year and the year after that. And I know that there are things in place that they work for, and they don't believe in shortcuts, and I think that they really work hard. I like Dave Yeager, and I like the staff that he has and the various aspects of the game that they can all address. But I think, yes, I think fans, you mentioned you, myself, we want to see more up-tempo, and I think that we're seeing pieces that can play that kind of a game, and I look forward to it. I think that one of the real things that I want to see in terms of development is for De'Aaron Fox. You know, I want to see him pushing the ball constantly. I don't want to see it, you know, every eighth possession or every third game or something like that. And I think he kind of has, I gather from what I've heard in the summer, that he's kind of got that mindset. And, you know, whatever, however long it takes for a player to become comfortable with the regimen, with the system, with his teammates, I think he's ready now to take a step in that direction. And I think he's going to be an absolute key for the Kings in terms of, you know, can they be legitimately competitive throughout 48 minutes? Can they push that tempo? Can they be, you know, tougher to defend? Those are the things that kind of intrigue you and kind of whet your appetite and get you kind of tuned up for a brand new season and say, all right, let's see what they learn in that first year in the NBA. And can these guys as second year players now, you know, take that next step and become a little more effective?
Final thing for you, G-Man, someone who I also believe will benefit from a run-and-gun system because we've seen it before in his first couple of seasons, and a guy that we're talking less and less about, seemingly, although he still does have a lot to offer, in my opinion, is Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm not sure if you heard the comments of Kevin Durant and CJ McCollum on CJ McCollum's Pull Up podcast, but they were very complimentary of his athletic ability, his athleticism, something that we talked about and boasted about with him right out of the gate. We saw that on display at times with George Karl fast-paced offense a number of years ago, but we've seen it slow down a little bit. He's inconsistent at times, but we've also seen the sparks of what he can be as an offensive weapon. What are you looking for from Willie Cauley-Stein for this season? He is, I believe, the longest tenured King, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I believe that I would be stunned because I think it's a contract year for Willie, and I think that we're going to see more consistency. And I know he's been working really hard in the offseason trying to improve his game and his skills and be really ready to make a contribution from the get-go. And I sure hope so. He intrigues me. He's got, you know, he does have great skills and he has terrific athleticism. And you want to see Willie, you know, become more consistent and become more reliable and become more of the man. And I think as Willie has said in the past, he says, man, I want to be the dog. You know, I want to see more dog from Willie. And I want to see the Kings, you know, relish him in that role and become more effective as a result. So you talk about things that are intriguing. Willie is certainly one of those. And, you know, if you look at a 7-footer now going to be in his fourth year, and it's time to step up to the plate and knock a couple out of the park. And I think Willie's capable of doing that, Matt.
G-Man, I would love to talk to you for hours. You know I could talk to you for hours. I've bugged you enough over the last 3.5 years of getting the chance to know you. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Locked On Kings podcast. I hope we can do it again in the near future. And I look forward, as I do every single year, to seeing you back up, calling games, and to be able to listen to you on a night-in, night-out basis. Thank you for joining us.
Well, we appreciate that. I'm the lucky one. I get the opportunity to do that. And it's something that I still have a passion for and that I love. And I love the passion of Kings fans, and I love the way they stand behind their team. And I want to see steps of improvement just like everybody else. So thank you, Matt. It's a great opportunity. And before you know it, we're going to be going to training camp and we're going to be doing it for real.
I can't wait. That is the radio play-by-play voice of your Sacramento Kings, the G-Man Gary Gerald, joining us here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I meant what I said at the beginning. Gary Gerald is one of my heroes, one of my icons, someone that I grew up listening to, someone who inspired me to get into this industry and pursue careers in play-by-play. I didn't share this in the actual interview itself, but I wanted to share it for you guys. Gary Gerald was nice enough. When I first started as an intern, I was still in college, and I was writing my senior thesis, and I was an English major, so I was writing my thesis on how basketball sports broadcasting is an element of storytelling that actually has ties to English literature. Now, it sounds nerdy because it is nerdy and it's very complex, and I'm not going to dive into it and bore you all to death. But one of the people that helped me out and gave me an exclusive interview, he sat down with me for almost an hour before an NBA game and just shared his story and how he tells the story of broadcasting a Kings game or when he used to broadcast a racing and drag racing and things like that. He shared all of that with me and then some, so I've always been grateful for him for that. He is one of my heroes, and he is always welcome here on the Locked On Kings podcast. So I certainly hope that you all enjoyed that. Got to get to this really quick because I'm running out of time. We'll go into more detail with it a little bit later. But did you see this story? Not the one I expected to wake up to reading on a Wednesday morning. But Lil Wayne's agency, that's Young Money Agency,
They are suing Sacramento Kings guard Frank Mason III for $92,000 and a Young Money chain. So allegedly, Little Wayne or Frank Mason was a part of this agency. He then left and had to pay them back $92,000 and got an exclusive chain from them as part of their group. And he left in earlier this year. I think it was either February or March, maybe June. I'm not sure. But he left a little bit earlier this year. And now Lil Wayne and his agency are upset that they didn't, or he didn't pay back, I guess, the money that he owed them. And they want their chain back. So exciting Kings news. There you go. Frank Mason is being sued by Lil Wayne. So at least we have some national attention on the Kings in that sense. This will blow over quickly. This is a non-issue, something that's just a fun little off-season story. Then in reality, if this drops in the middle of the regular season, it would matter for all of 20 minutes and then we wouldn't care and we'd move on. So no big deal about this. Nobody over-exaggerate and freak out. Oh my God, Frank Mason's in trouble. Or oh my God, Frank Mason is cheating people. Or Lil Wayne, rappers everywhere hate Frank Mason and hate the Sacramento Kings. Now it's a bad look for our franchise. None of that. Don't worry about anything. That is very simple. On Friday's podcast, I'm excited to have on James Hamm. He is a Sacramento Kings insider for NBC Sports Bay Area in California. You can see him before Kings games all the time on TV in the pregame and postgame shows. Used to do it with Doug Christie and Jim Cozumore. Now Doug Christie is on the color commentating duty, so I'm not sure who they're going to add to his team there. But you should be very familiar with James. He's also a phenomenal insider, writes and produces great content on the Sacramento Kings, has done so for many, many years. He's going to be joining me on Friday's episode of the podcast, giving us more details about all the moves that the Kings have been making, some inside information about each one of these free agency signings. And then he'll share his opinions ultimately with what the Kings have been doing, what they're trying to do, and maybe just maybe if he has any idea of any whispers of things that are soon to come or moves that are still to be made in this offseason. If anyone will know, it will be James Hamm. So he will join me on Friday. I hope you all return for that. If you have a quick second, go on to iTunes or on to Stitcher, leave a quick review of this podcast and share your feedback, what you like, don't like about the podcast, what you like, don't like about me. If you want to share any of your opinions or anything like that, you can absolutely do that. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, and tweet me at @MattGeorgeKHDK. Also, remember in Monday's podcast with Jill, I threw out there that I want to be gathering Kings fans to invite on for little 5-minute segments and do an entire Kings fan show here coming up later in August. So if you want to be a part of that, send me your story and some of your Kings takes either on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK. Let me know you're interested or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'll compile all of those, select a few, and we will make a show out of it. So be sure to jump on that if you want to be a part of that. Thank you to everybody for listening. Have yourselves a great day. I'll talk to you on Friday. My name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.